Today, we will continue to look at our development of spiritual growth. And I want to start off as we have the last few weeks, and we do not have a slide, so this is going to be a challenge today of what our mission statement is. You think we could all say it together? If you want to cheat, you can look in your bulletin. It's a lot of relieved faces. If you want to turn your bulletin, you can look at that. And our mission statement is that we are committed to connecting with people, to encourage in Christ by sharing God's word. All right. Let's all say it together at the same time now. Ready? We are committed . Great job. Give yourself a hand. Oh, come on. Give yourself a hand. You did a good job. Come on now. We want to know that because it's important that we know where we're going, why we're looking at these things and we're making decisions. And as we talked about earlier on February 7th, which is first Wednesday, we're going to have a special strategic planning time. And myself and some of the elders and leaders are going to be sharing some things about exciting things that what we're doing to improve and to expand our ministry here at New Hope and hopefully make a deeper and wider impact in our community for Christ so that we may connect with people, so that we may bring them in, encourage them, and watch them to grow in Christ by sharing God's word. And so we want to encourage you to be here February 7th for that evening. Well, we had last year talked about connection, and we talked about Romans 12:5, that we are all connected together in Christ. And this year we have a verse for growth is our word for this year. And we have Hebrews 6:1. If you want to read along with this, is let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and press on to maturity. And I know that with the weather last week, that many of you were not able to be here, but I know that many of you watched online, or we had a little over 622 people watch the live stream last week. So so we were excited about that people were able to see. And I know some people who weren't able to be here that you were able to watch it later on through the week. So that's great. We wanted to continue with what we built on last week. And we began by talking about that growth requires discipline and then knowledge. And then reaching maturity is the goal. And so last week we talked about discipline, and we talked about that discipline creates faithfulness, perseverance, and blessing. And so this week we want to move forward and talk about the second component, which is knowledge. As we grow, as we mature, we require us to have discipline. And I shared a personal story of my own time of where I took an inventory of my life and look at an image of Christ, and I put the two together and they did not match. And it required discipline, first of all, to do that, and then discipline to start seeking how then can I realign those two? How can I bring my life into alignment with Christ? And the way that when we do that is one of the major things is that we need to know what Christ was like, and that leads us to knowledge. And so I want us to know something about that before we even get started. And that is why I chose this verse, John 5:39. And many of you may know this verse. This is one of these verses I was sharing with someone yesterday. There are certain verses that I just love that just leap out of the scriptures at me and that I love to camp on. And this is one of them. And so if you don't know this verse, let's look at this. And I want you to hear what it's saying. Jesus is in the middle of talking with the people of his lifetime that were the scholars, the most knowledgeable of the scriptures. And here's what he says. He says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are the very scriptures that testify about me. Now, I start here because this is one of the things I want us to understand. Knowledge of Christ alone, and we're going to unpack that today, is not sufficient. Knowledge of Christ alone does not bring you eternal life. That's what he was telling the leaders of that day, and I would say he would say to the people today, just knowing about me does not give you eternal life. You can study a manual all you want, but it's not until you start to apply things and interact with it that you start to understand it. Jesus is telling his followers, and he's telling them, the leaders of that day, and he's telling us, is that just merely having an intellectual assent of to who I am or about me is not sufficient. I would tell you, it's kind of like reading a biography versus knowing somebody. Now, many of us, we have watched Biography Channel, and you watch things, and you discover things about people. And if you're a fan of a particular person or a particular band or actor, and maybe you read all the stuff, right? And in today's reality world, there are many of the so-called celebrities that they have their own reality show that you get to have a quote-unquote peek into their real life. Now, that peek into their real life has been scripted and edited and arranged. You know where I'm going with that. You feel like, but I just know them, right? How many of us just really know the Kardashians at this point, right? I mean, they just put it all out there. But here's the thing. Do we know those people? I am still baffled, and if you like these shows, I just apologize up front. But I am still baffled by the Bachelor and Bachelorette show. How that you shove 13, 14, I don't even know how many people it is, into this fake world, and that over a course of a period of time out of fake experiences, because really, who gets on a cruise ship and goes to a private island and then a carriage ride to a beach where they've already laid out your picnic? Oh, he is so romantic. Yeah, the producers did that. If I had a team of producers and writers, I would be the most romantic man alive too. But somehow at the end of this, like 13 weeks, or I'm not sure how long it goes, that they, oh, I just so know him and I give you the rose. And how many seasons are we into this? And how many authentic relationships have been birthed by this? And then they have like the recap shows to go back and talk. Like, I really guess I just didn't know them. What, really? In our life, though, and we look at that, and if somebody's in this room, like, I love that show. And it's not the only one. I mean, I'll just say it out there. I'm not a fan of reality shows because they're not real. And the way that they're presented is that it is. And what really bugs me is that idealism has worked its way into Christianity. And you understand that whatever is going on in those shows and in those people's lives, it is edited, and you only see what they want you to see. And people try to take that same approach to Christianity. And I love what Charlie was saying earlier about, you know, if we just do church on Sunday morning for an hour, you're missing so much. And Jesus is like, you can be in every Bible study group you can want to be in. You could be signed up on your Bible app to every devotional that you possibly could be in. You could listen to nothing but K-Love and the audio Bible all you want. But if all of that is just a reality TV approach to life of, I think I know you, but you really don't know Jesus, you are miles and miles away. So when we're talking about knowledge here, we need to understand some perspective. We want to unpack a couple of things. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is telling a story, and many of us know this one it haunts us. This is another one of these passages that should haunt us as Christians sometimes, is that it says this. Jesus is talking to the disciples. He said one day that there will be a time where you stand before the Lord, and he's going to separate the sheep and goat. He's going to tell the people who stood up and, quote unquote, did things in my name, that the Father's going to say, I knew you not. I knew you not. Because you really didn't know me. There's a lot of people who are fans of Jesus. They don't follow him. They take snippets of Jesus, they edit it, they make just the highlights and the good things. The Jesus loves everybody, Jesus gave everybody food, Jesus wanted everybody to get along, all the little quote-unquote social positive things about Jesus. And then they disregard all the other truths where he comes out and says some hard things that don't fit our PC culture. And so we cut those out and we edit that out and we end up with this reality TV Jesus. And Jesus is telling people, saying, if you're going to live like that, be ready. You may come to church, you may serve, you may have spent your whole life thinking you knew me, and you don't. You search the scriptures diligently, thinking that they will give you your eternal life. You are going to do things and be a member of certain churches and certain groups, thinking that's going to give you eternal life. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus says, it's about me. Do you know me? This idea that this knowledge is what is going to save us was perverted in the first century by a group called the Gnostics. It derives its word from the word knowledge, in the Greek is the word gnosis, in which this group, the Gnostics, came up with this idea that the knowledge of Jesus was what was important. And that somehow by deciphering his words, they would find secret messages and secret knowledge. And that secret knowledge would give them eternal life. From the first century till now, we know that they're heretics, meaning that they are against God, that they're liars, that they're false. But their ideology keeps popping up over century after century after century. And it's today in the 21st century that we find that there are still people who think that if I just delve into the Bible and unpack the secrets of it, and Jesus is like, that's great, but I'm telling you right now, the secret is me. I'm the answer. Now, God's the same. You know, one of my principles, God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He was the same in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. He will be in the future. When he's telling the disciples, or he's telling the Israelites before they go into Egypt, he's like, here's the thing. He tells the Israelites, my law is presented to you so that my righteousness and everything can be given to you. And I laid it out right there where you can grab a hold of it. It's not up in the sky, so you can't find it. It's not out here across the ocean where you can't go out and get it. It's right here. Jesus is saying, echoing the same sentiment right here. You can look at all this, you can try to search all that, but I'm telling you, it's right here. It's me. It's me. And it's the same today. So why then is knowledge, what is that component? Why do we need this for spiritual growth? There's three reasons. The very first of which is that it creates obedience. Seeking knowledge to understand God will create obedience. 1 John 2:3. We know that we have come to know him, speaking of Jesus, if we keep his commands. We know that we have known Jesus if we keep his commands. Obedience. Obedience to Christ represents an understanding, and it exposes whether or not you understand and know Jesus. When you know your spouse, and you've been married for a while, and you've been together, and a holiday like a birthday or an anniversary or Christmas comes up, and you go and get that gift that maybe you kind of saw them searching out on Amazon, or they lingered in the aisle there at Walmart a little longer, you kind of pick up on the clues, right? Or maybe they're just blatantly, they cut out the ad and laid it, you know, with your breakfast. Oh, she wants this. When you do that and you give that gift to them. Or if you're like, you know, like my wife sometimes, that she lays the trash there in the middle of the kitchen and she'll make a scene about walking around it because somebody hasn't taken it out. And I go, ah, I'm the hero. I will take the trash out. When we do those things for each other in our marriages, what are we doing? We're demonstrating a couple of things. We're demonstrating that we know them. We're demonstrating that we are following their lead, that they have spoken to us, sometimes audibly, sometimes an example, sometimes in ways that we should pick up on, that if we are in tune together. And maybe if you're that spouse and they do that special thing, it's not about a gift or even an act of service, that maybe they just remember. They remembered that today was going to be a six meeting kind of day and you were going to be wore out. And when you come home, they're like, have a seat. Like, here's your favorite drink. Here's the TV. You just relax. I got tonight. What does that do to your spirit? What does that tell you? They know you. That's what Jesus is saying here. That's what that John's saying here about Jesus, is that if we know Jesus, we're obedient to him. We're going to give back to him what he wants us to give, which is being his followers, being his disciples, being reflective of him, following his commands, doing the things that he encouraged us to do and asked us to do. Because nothing is worse if Amy sets the trash in the middle of the kitchen right there and I also step over it. I go, somebody should take care of that. Or if your spouse has been, you know, kind of hinting at that one piece of jewelry. I think it's Jared's or one of them's got a commercial out there right before Christmas. Like, everybody's giving these little hints, you know. Some guys are like, oh. Like, one of them just literally, here's the ad. Like, boom, circled. Like, this is it. What if you did that and then Christmas came and then all of a sudden you got a new toaster? And maybe you wanted the toaster. But you're like, remember that bracelet? Or that perfume, or whatever it was that was just intimate and personal, that it showed that you knew me. When you don't do that, it's kind of like, what, do you even know me? All right, don't poke anybody right now, but afterwards you'd be like, that was Jason's talking about you. We show that we know somebody by following their clues. And Christ has said, look, if you love me, follow my commands. Do what I've told you to do. If we know Jesus, there's going to be sacrifice. The second thing is that it requires sacrifice. Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8 says, but whatever were gains to me, Paul's writing saying, look, you know, I was all this in a bag of Grippos. I mean, I was like the dude of dudes. I was awesome in the realm of Jewish hierarchy. But he's saying, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of what? Knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul's like, all of that, all this greatness that I had is nothing compared to just knowing Christ. In fact, he says, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Seeking knowledge is going to require sacrifice. It's going to require a change of pattern and habits for us. Now, last week I shared my own story about some very painful issues and time in my own life where I was totally out of alignment with Christ and that it required discipline to come back in here. And I'm going to tell you right now, this right here, this section, it required sacrifice. It required humility. I just finished my master's in counseling. I was beginning my doctorate in biblical studies. I mean, I already knew, right? I had the intellectual knowledge of Christ. I had all the intellectual. I had studied the scriptures to see if I had the answers. But Jesus, like, you didn't have me. You weren't using me. You weren't letting me be husband to your wife. You weren't letting me be father to your children. You were not letting me be in your life. And I was walking around being Jason 100% of the time. And it was a big royal mess. And I had to be like Paul and say, you know what, whatever I thought I had, whatever accolade, whatever pat on the back, whatever, oh, Jason, you're smart. Oh, Jason, you're this, you're that. You know the scriptures. You must be just ready and prepared to handle all things. Jason, 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 Jason. And I had to take myself back to the cross, Galatians 2:20, and kill that man. So that, as Galatians 2:20 says, so that Christ may live. It required humility and sacrifice. And I will say right now, I can't even remember what it was that I gave up, but whatever it was nothing. Zilch, zero, nothing compared to my deeper relationship with my Lord and Savior, my deeper relationship with my wife, my unbelievably deeper relationship with my children, and with those around me, my fellow believers. When I let Christ truly be in my life, I mean, I was almost 25 years walking with Christ at this point, but I must have been, you know, that whole footprints in the sand, it must have been my footprints by myself. Like, I'm going to carry Jesus. Because he was not in my life at that time. Not the way that he should have been. And boy, I'll tell you right now, the old Jason, the old flesh of Jason, it wants to get off the cross and come back. I love to be on the throne. I mean, each and every one of us has probably played the Game of Thrones in our own heart. Every day. Deciding who is going to be the one who makes the decisions. But we have to be, as Paul said, just understanding and realizing that whatever it is you think that you have, it is nothing compared to the knowledge of Christ. And when we get to that point, when you really get to that point, it is so freeing. There's a book that I recommend. It's called A Lifetime Guarantee. It's written by a name, help me, Bill. Bill Gillum. If you've not read this book, I encourage you. It's called, again, Lifetime Guarantee. And in it, it talks about the fact that when he was in the state, very same thing. He had just finished his PhD in counseling, and he thought he knew it all. And he was in a relationship with his wife that was just broken. And he came across this truth also that one day he said, you know, I've got to let Christ live in my life. And he said, you know what? When my wife would say, Bill, you got laundry needs to be put away. I've been walking around that, you know, basket of clothes for 3 days now. He goes, man, Bill wanted to say, well, put it up yourself, you know? He goes, but why did I have to pray? Okay, Jesus, what would you do? And he goes, I let Jesus put my laundry away. When the wife would say, hey, Bill, grass is getting a little tall. He goes, I had to let Jesus go mow the grass. I remember reading that book, and that was part of that transformational time for me. And there was days where I said, okay, Jesus, love my wife because I don't know how to. Love my children because I don't know how to. And here's the amazing thing. When I let him do that, he did it. That was me. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like I became a, you know, like a robot. I am going to love my wife. No. It wasn't some kind of like possession, like you see in a movie, right? You know, like your spirit leaves out and some other spirit comes in. No, no. It was me. I'm totally conscious of what I was doing. But you know what would happen? The Holy Spirit, and this is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is that he says that he will remind us the teachings of Christ. That he says, I will remember. Jesus said, I'm going to send you this comforter, and one of his roles is he can remind you my words. I leave you this command. Follow my commands. If you're really a believer, follow my commands. By the way, I'm going to send you this comforter, and part of his role is to help you remember what they were. Well, that's pretty handy, right? It's like a spiritual Google. Boom. And there were days where I'm like, Amy would come or my kids would come and I did not want to love them the way that Christ would love them. But then the Holy Spirit, I'd say, okay, Jesus, you're supposed to do something. So the Holy Spirit would remind me of a passage like Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Ah, that means I got to get up and take the trash out. That means I need to turn the TV off and sit and listen to what my wife wants to share from her heart. It means that I need to quit playing this video game and sit down and on the floor with my kids and play Hot Wheels. It means I need to let Christ walk through me and be in me and in my life. And it means sacrifice of Jason. But all of this requires the third thing, which is perspective. And I love that we sang this. We sang about this earlier. We sang about the love of Christ. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19 says this. Paul's praying and he says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. He just set this up. He's talking about the love of Christ. What's the very next thing? And to know his love that what? Surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled to the measure of the fullness. That means maturity of God. He wants us to love. You want to reach maturity? We got to get to the point that we love. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. Many of us know this passage, and we've heard it probably at weddings, and it's appropriate. We've heard it at times around Valentine, and it's appropriate. But I want us to look at it a little different today. And I've read this passage, I don't know how many times, but there are some, all of a sudden this week as I was preparing and looking at this, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is, yeah, it's about love, it's about knowledge. This passage, 1 Corinthians 13, many of you probably have some kind of a little chapter heading, you know, the love chapter. But I want to tell you right now, I want us to look at it and see this today as it's about knowledge. 13 verse 1, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Boy, if you could just speak any language, right? That takes knowledge. If I could have the gift of prophecy, that's knowing things that are going to come, again, knowledge, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but I do not have love, I have nothing. Paul's talking about knowledge. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Knowledge does those things, though, doesn't it? Knowledge says, look at me. Look how much I know. We love to play trivia games in our family, and we are cutthroat competitive, I want to tell you right now. And I love when some random question comes up, and I know the answer. And we played a game last night, and the little characters on the screen, that there's six of us, and it X'd out five of them, and one had a check mark. Yeah. Why? Because knowledge loves to boast. In that moment, I needed to probably pray, God, right, you know, love your family. Verse 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's what love does. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, this is the key thing right here. Where there were prophecies, where there was knowledge yet to come, they will cease. Where there were tongues, they will be stilled. For where there is knowledge, what's this say here? It will pass away. Just pause on that for just a second. Everything that we think we know or could possibly know, and if you could know it, one day it all is going to be passed away and it will be for zilch. It's all just dirt. Thank goodness somebody remembers my sermon. No. It is. It's all just dirt. It's all things that are just going to pass away. Verse 9, for we know in part, but we prophesy in part, but when the completeness comes, what is in part disappears. For when I was a child, I talked like a child, and I thought like a child, I responded like a child, but then I became a man. I put these childish things behind me. For we now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then we will see face to face. I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Verse 13, and now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We want to have discipline. It requires discipline to have spiritual growth. And we want to have knowledge of Jesus Christ. And there are plenty of opportunities to seek out knowledge. There's probably more knowledge about Scripture right now than has ever been at any time. And it is available in ways that are just phenomenal. I mean, just the fact that almost every one of us have some kind of electronic device that we carry around that doesn't just offer us like, oh, a version of the Bible. We can get multiple translations. And if there's a word we don't understand, we can look it up. And we can look it up in the original language. And we can look it up in multiple original languages. And we can unpack it. And we can have a library of scholars going back 1,000 years who have written about that. And it's all within our grasp. Knowledge of Christ is not the problem. Knowledge of his love. Obedience to his love. Sacrifice of yourself to his love is what we are lacking. That's why I believe Paul's writing this in Corinthians. If I have all this stuff, what if I can know everything and do everything and don't have love, what do we have? Nothing. If you have faith, that's great. What is faith? It's the things that are hoped for, things that are yet to come. It's the future. If I have hope, what is hope? Hope is the experience and the knowledge that what happened in the past, I can trust Christ, I can trust God, things are going to work out. It's the things from the past. But all of that's going to disappear. Christ is the Alpha and Omega. Father is the Alpha and Omega. Before the beginning and end, they were and will be. And all of that is what? Erased when the end time comes. And it's just him and us. But one thing will remain, Paul says, and this is why it's so important for us to understand it, and that is love. So if you will allow me to edit my own little three steps, the first thing was discipline. The second thing, I use the word knowledge, and it is appropriate to use, but I want us to interject and understand that when we use knowledge, what we're talking about is love. You want to mature? You want to grow? You learn to love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that you have patience with us, that you have the ability to take hard hearts and stiff necks and soften them and make them pliable and usable. Heavenly Father, I just lay my own life out right now, God, and I pray for those in this room and for those who would hear this. Search me. Show me the places that are not in submission to you. Show me in those places where I'm relying on my own knowledge, my own experience, my own pride, my own puffed up attitude to get me through. God, help us to lay those aside and instead be just wrapped in your love and emanating your love. And just being your love. Your word tells us that you are love. And it's because of love you sent your Christ, your Son, the Messiah for us. Love is your overarching theme and driving characteristic. And God, if we are reflective of you, if we really are little Christ, little Christians, then God, help us love. It's in your name we pray.